so powerful right there.
Amen.
You know, yesterday I was over at Best Buy, I got my wife one of these right here, it was part of the Mother's Day presents, this little speaker. Walked up to the counter and everything, the girl that was there, she said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I said, "I am blessed, highly favored." For some reason, I grabbed her hand and told her, "You are blessed in Jesus' name, and
Amen.
Jesus loves you," and she started crying.
Aww.
We had church right there.
Amen.
The people at Best Buy worked there started raising their hands and stuff because they were saying, "Throw the power." She needed to hear that. How many people do we know and see it everywhere we go that need Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Ultimately, because they got an appointment with hell if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there. It's already set in stone. They got an appointment with hell. Mm-hmm. This right here, this first Ephesians chapter 1 is for this right here, right now. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom. You have to have that. You can't do nothing without Jesus' wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And a revelation in the knowledge of who He is, Him. And that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We have all that inheritance. Can you wrap my brain over that right there? It's so powerful. And what is the surpassing, and I think about it daily, and what is the surpassing greatness of the power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things subjection under His feet and gave Him head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. I just give you praise and glory, my King, for doing that. Thank you so much, Jesus.
Amen.
This is the Father's house. This is
Amen.
Not the hog pen.
Yes, Lord.
There's peace in the house.
Amen.
Glory in the house.
Yes,
salvation in the house. Healing in the house.
Amen.
Everything you need is in the house.
That's right.
Everything you want's in the house.
Praise
if it's not in the house, you don't need it.
That's right.
If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. We thank you, Father, this day for this assembly. We pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes this morning and we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. God, we pray that you give us a spirit of wisdom, not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to believer that we might be able to operate the ministries that you've given us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. We're going to be talking some pioneer stuff here this morning.
Amen.
We're going to take you boldly. We're going to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Amen.
Well, some have gone before, but very few, very
live
few.
Long and
yeah, there you go. Live long and prosper. There you go.
Or nanu nanu.
If you got your Bibles, of course we're in Acts chapter 7. We're in the middle of Stephen's sermon, the sermon that got him killed. It was an anointed sermon, right?
Yeah.
It was an anointed sermon.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
He got him killed. You know, he asked Luke.
Huh?
Didn't he ask God to take him?
No. He said, let's see, what did he say? They killed him. They stoned him to death.
I know, but didn't he say something about...
Don't answer that thought.
Yeah.
Well, I think you may be talking about in verse 59 when he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit."
Right.
But he was dying.
But Paul
they killed
didn't
him.
Die from it.
Huh?
Paul didn't die from his stone.
That was.
I'm just saying, could he have, you know, maybe because God, he did ask for sin, God just went ahead and took it. So.
But, well,
I can see where he's being stoned then.
You know? I was killing
him. I'm going to tell you what happened. He looked up and actually saw
Jesus, and then when he saw him, he wanted to go. So that's just something to think.
Jesus also said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit."
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. where he got it from.
And when he looked up,
but Jesus gave it up himself, right?
Jesus gave up his life. Yes.
Just,
but anyway, okay.
I know he was.
That's a good point.
Can I add to it? When he looked up, and saw Jesus.
All right, we got to move on, because I got to get into something here that this is going to take more than one or two times to do this. But I'm way ahead of where Brother Thurston is, so I've got some time. We're right in the middle of his sermon, and if you got your Bibles, we're also going to have to go to Genesis chapter 23. Genesis 49, Genesis 50, and Joshua 24.
Wow. You write this down.
Yeah, if you got a pen and paper.
Yeah, say it again.
Genesis 23, verse 2, verses 7 through 9, and 14 through 19. I'm going to read all this, and you can follow along with me. But I'm, just, you know, I'm just giving you these so you can, you know, follow along easier. Then Genesis 49, verses 29 to 33. Genesis 50, verses 12 to 13. Joshua 24, 32. It may take a couple of three Sundays. This is some pretty big stuff now. Okay. I asked you last time whether you know. I said last time this was a curious little message, and it is quite curious. I read this chapter in Acts for years and years and years and years, and I missed this. I missed it. And people who have taught the book of Acts have missed it. And it wasn't until just about, I don't know, when were you guys working on your... Oh, it was about a year ago. You all were... Some of the women were over at the house working on the scrapbook for Pastor's Appreciation. I was back in my office, and all of a sudden, it was like a lightning bolt hit me. And I realized, whoa, does this really say what this says? And I realized something I had never, ever seen in this before, in the book, in this chapter before. And I believe that I'm probably not the only one in here. I don't know that anyone else in here has ever seen it either. Okay, very few have ever seen it. Let's put it that way. Where it says, so Stephen is telling about, he's giving us a history. Well, let's look in 7 and start in verse 14. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem, that's Sychem or Shechem, and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This did not happen. This did not happen. Was anybody aware of this? This never happened. Okay? Now, it flat slap contradicts Genesis and Joshua. Now, so there's something big going on here. There's something we've got to learn from this. This did not happen. Jacob was not buried in Shechem. And Abraham never bought anything in Shechem. Okay? Now, this is what happened. This is what happened. Let me tell you, let me read from Genesis and I'll tell you what happened. Now, we got to talk about this because Christians need to know this. We don't need to miss this. This kind of stuff is big, okay? There's a lesson here. And we don't need to miss it. So this is why I said it's going to take me maybe a couple of 3 weeks to get this, to talk about this, but this is this. I don't go around teaching this and saying this. I don't go out looking for, you know, but since we're on the book of Acts and we're slap confronted with it, I'm not going to sidestep it, okay? We're there. We're there, so we're going to deal with it. Genesis 23 and 2. This is what happened. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba. The same is Hebron. All right. Right there is Hebron. If I can find Shechem. Where is it? Here's Shechem right here.
And where's Hebron?
Hebron's here. Shechem. Hebron, Shechem, Hebron. It's not two names for the same city, okay? They're nowhere near one another. That's right. They're nowhere near the same. They're nowhere near one another. Okay. Sarah died in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Hate. And he communed with him, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron the son of Zoar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And now verse 14, and Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, my lord, hearken unto me, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the sons of Hate, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which is in Machpelah, which is before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Hate, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. All right.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
So there it is. There's where Abraham is buried. And there, and in the days of Herod the king, Herod had a great building erected over Abraham's tomb. Right. And it is still there today.
Right.
It is one of the only buildings that still remain from Herod the builder. Another portion of a building, of course, is the Wailing Wall. But it's one of the things that Herod built and is still there. And it's over the tomb of Abraham, and it's in Hebron. All right. Now, let's go to Genesis 49 and 29. This is where Jacob charged his children just before he died. And he, Jacob, charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that's in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field of the cave that is therein was from the children of Hate. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Genesis 50 and 12. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the field, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. All right. So we have no doubt whatsoever that Abraham bought a field down here in Hebron, and there he was buried, Sarah was buried, Isaac and Rebekah were buried, and Jacob and Leah were buried. How many people? Two, four, six?
Six.
Six people buried in the cave in Hebron, which is still there today, Abraham's tomb. All right. Now let's go to Joshua 24 and 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. So there you go. This account in the book of Acts just confuses the two accounts. What happened was Abraham never laid eyes on the father of Shechem, and he never bought anything from Shechem, and he was not buried, and he was buried in Hebron, and so was Jacob. So verse 16, where it says they were carried, that Jacob was carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor. Hamor didn't live. Abraham and Hamor didn't have any transaction with one another.
That was right there. He got confused.
That's where he got confused.
Yeah, he got
confused. He got confused
with Abraham.
That's right. Exactly. He mixed up these two accounts. Right. He simply mixed up the two accounts.
Again. Right.
How many times have we heard? Yeah, he did. He misspoke. How many times have we heard a preacher or a teacher from the pulpit, even in an anointed message, put Moses in the ark?
Yeah.
It happened. It happens.
Our own pastor has said certain things.
It happens. What we know from here's what you say. Well, how is this? How is the Bible true? And how is it divinely inspired? I'll tell you what Stephen said is divinely inspired. In other words, the fact that he said what he said is divinely inspired. We know that is truth, that he said what he said. Not that everything that he said was truth.
All the facts
That's what you, if that were, then you're talking about a a level of inspiration. You've got to know who's speaking and who they're speaking to. For example, what I'm trying to say is that not everyone who speaks in the Bible is speaking by divine inspiration. Huh?
That's true.
We have accounts in the Bible of where the devil is talking.
Oh yeah.
And we know the devil's not speaking by divine inspiration, and he ain't telling the truth.
Amen. That's right.
How about Job's three friends?
Yeah.
They weren't speaking by inspiration
at all,
because when Jehovah appeared at the end of the book and said, "You guys, you got it all wrong, and you need to pray. You need to get Job to pray for you, that so I'll forgive you, because you don't know what you're talking about." So when you read the book of Job, you got to be careful. Who is speaking? Who is speaking? Is it Job or one of his three friends? If it's one of his three friends, you got to be careful. Because when God came up on the scene and said, "You guys don't know what you're talking about, and you need help." What we know, what we learn is that even anointed messages and even anointed messengers sometimes can misspeak.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that the whole message is wrong.
Amen.
It's pretty powerful.
That is a lesson that we need to get out of this. That Stephen spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Of course he did.
Yes.
It was an anointed message. Did he make a mistake? Yes. But the divine inspiration is that even the mistake has been preserved. You see? when he misspoke, that's been preserved.
To give us an example.
Right.
So there's your layer of divine inspiration right there.
I've actually heard what you're talking about right here.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, I've got it underlined right here.
Yeah, now, some commentators, you know, obviously when you read some commentators, they'll talk about it. Some commentators you can read, and they either haven't thought of it or else they're afraid to mess with it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't want to avoid it because they say, well, it's a conflict in the Bible, and people say it ain't true.
See, that's right. Now, look, that's the problem. This is where we need not to be spiritual wusses.
Apologetics.
We need not to be spiritual wusses.
Come on, boy. Come on, baby. Put on that armor.
We need to know what's in the Bible.
Preach it.
And when it's in there, we need to know what to do with this stuff. When we find something like this that absolutely flat contradicts the clear language of the Old Testament, we just got to say, well, they misspoke.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the Bible. It's true that he said what he said. That's true. Every word he said, we know what he said. Yeah. We know every word that he said. Did every word that he said, what did, was that true? No, he misspoke.
Yeah. But it's still an inspired message.
That's right. It absolutely is. When the thing is, when we hear messages, we've got to sift what we hear. You've got to sift what you hear.
We're like the Bereans.
Yeah, we are like the Berean Christians. Yeah, you got to sift what you hear.
Well, God tells you to rightly divide the word.
Rightly divide the word. You've got to pay attention.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't study it, you can't rightly divide.
If you don't study it, you've got no basis to rightly divide anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yes, praise God, it's divinely inspired that Stephen said what he said.
And you rightly divided because you went to another scripture.
That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct.
The reason some people get things a little messed up because it was passed down to them.
That's right. That's true.
You know, some preachers are preaching what their preachers before that preached.
That's true. That is absolutely right. And, you know, like,
and it don't make it wrong, it just make it just not like they told it's a better way to teach it.
Well, we can get our facts mixed up.
Easily.
Without the doctrine being mixed up. Okay. There was not a thing in the world wrong with Stephen's doctrine. Even though he had Abraham in the wrong town, and so on and so forth, you know, I mean, that's...
You know that some of those people may have knew that too, and I bet you they were articulating me, and boy, just...
Do you know who was there?
Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus was there.
Right there.
And I guarantee you that Saul of Tarsus picked up on that.
Oh, yeah, he quotes you books.
He picked up on that error, and you know what the devil always does. What the devil always does is say, "Well, see, there he can't be. He doesn't know what he's talking
about.
He can't. That can't be. He can't be speaking by the anointing of the Lord because he wouldn't have made that kind of a mistake. That's not true. Even anointed people can sometimes misspeak.
Yeah.
We need to understand that.
Yeah.
And we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But by the same token, whenever we see something like this, we need to pick up on it. And there is a message in here.
Big time. You just preached it.
There is a good message. That's right. There's a good message. And it's very timely because whenever we hear a message, you know, there are things, you know, that you say, well, you know, bless his heart or bless her heart, you know. She just, you know, misspoke. Mm-hmm. But that's all right, praise the Lord. We're you know.
I'm how many correct yourself.
That's true, that's true. You know, that's right. Sometimes you say something and you don't even realize what you said, but and you make a mistake and somebody has to, you know, correct you.
That's what was going on with one of the old-time evangelists. They said he was a false teacher because he said it was 5,000. God had 5,000 in reserve that never bowed their knee.
7,000.
And it was
7,000. Yes, see, that's, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing we're, that's,
mistake. He wasn't,
that's right, that's right, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's what we see it all the time. It doesn't mean that they're not speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit.
So when they look back at the great men and they studied him, they say he was a false teacher because he said it was 5,000.
Yeah,
$5,000.
That's exactly, you know, that's the devil.
He was just,
that is absolute Satan, that is the devil. And I guarantee you that the devil put those very thoughts in Paul's mind when Paul heard this message.
I bet you money.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And that's why, you know, I like when pastor says that, you know, I'm just like the teacher, like I'm your pastor, but, you know, read the word for yourself.
That's right. That's right.
Because it's just like, don't believe just because you hear a pastor say it, I hear a pastor say it, doesn't mean you have to believe everything they say. Like, you should be knowing the word for yourself.
That's right.
When they do say something that's the Holy Spirit, you can agree with it in your spirit and be like,
yes,
praise the Lord, you know. But if you're just going to believe everything a person says and not try to check for yourself, you know, you're putting yourself in a predicament where you might believe the wrong thing. And possibly, you know, that could do something to you, you know, in your walk.
The Berean Christians, the Bible, yes, the Berean Christians says that they were more noble.
Right.
Then I think it was the Thessalonians. Now I could be misspeaking right now, but it says they were more noble than some Christians.
The Berean
Christians were more noble than the Thessalonican Christians because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether they be so.
It was the Bereans.
They were more noble than, I think, was it the Thessalonians? Is that who it was?
Yeah, that's right.
I think they were more noble than the Thessalonians in that the Berean Christians searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. So that's what we got to do. We need to know this. There's no substitute for knowing the word.
Amen.
You got to know the word. The mind, the ear, according to Job, the ear sifts words, or the ear tries words like the mouth tries meat.
You know, you said something in our end times teaching on Monday night. I've been listening to that little thing, you know, every day, okay? And you said something that rings my head, and I don't think I'll ever leave it. You said something, you said, I've got progeny here. I've got my son here, and I've got my grandson here.
Yeah.
And I have to know what I'm saying is true.
Yes, yes.
Just like you were talking about when you said that, I thought of what he said. You see, I've got two granddaughters.
Yes.
I want to make sure when I say something to them, it's right. It's absolutely right. I don't want to give them no false doctrines.
That's true. Glory to God.
And there's so many false doctrines out there.
Well, think about the children in the church.
Yes, ma'am.
The story of David's life.
Yeah.
How old were you when you discovered that David whacked his head off? You don't hear it in the kids' story.
I never heard it at all.
Well, they did.
Yeah.
You
cut his head off. That's right. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. We're all good on this. Well, this went over real good.
We'll pick up next.
Y'all didn't cut his head off.